Hello and welcome to the Sequel Commentary. The Sequel Commentary is a show from the host of the Sequel Cast, Matt and Thrasher, where once every month or so we look at a movie that's usually a sequel and do a full-length audio commentary for it. This is the second episode. We're doing it on Super Mario Brothers, the live-action movie from the early 90s, starring Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo as the titular Mario Brothers. At the beginning, you'll hear me count down 1, 2, 3, play. What that means is, on your end, you should have the movie started but paused with the timer reading at 0000. And when I say 1, 2, 3, play, specifically when I see play, you push play in your remote, or, you know, push play in your computer if you're watching it on there, to start the DVD in time so it syncs up with this audio commentary. And of course, because this is a podcast, you can listen to it without watching the movie at the same time, although it's better if you watch it at the same time as the movie. Have fun with our sequel commentary, episode 2, on the Super Mario Brothers movie. Special thanks again to the guys at smbmovie.com. If you like this Mario Brothers movie, check out their website. And also check out the Sequel Cast special episode we did on Super Mario Brothers, where we had a head writer and head HR guy from the site, Stephen Applebaum, talk to him about the movie. So between that and the sequel commentary episode, you get a double dose of Super Mario Brothers here on the Sequel Cast. Next week on the Sequel Cast, we'll be covering all 8 theatrical Muppet movies, so that'll keep us busy through the rest of the summer. Okay, so anyway, we're going to begin Sequel Commentary 2 on the live-action Super Mario Brothers movie. When I say play, you hit play on your DVD player with the timer set to 00, so it syncs up with the film. Enjoy. Yeah, so I have it set on 0000. Okay, 1, 2, 3, play.
I really, really like this movie.
Yeah?
I saw it opening weekend, and I don't know, like, well, the thing that I love about this movie is that the creators, the source material the creators had were pretty much 8 8-bit levels from the original Mario game. That's not much source material. During the creative process, they clearly blew through that source material real quick and then just decided to go nuts. And I love them for it.
Right. It's really clever what they came up with. They sort of take a few characters and names from the video game and do their own unique, I call it a mixture of Blade Runner and Ghostbusters kind of spin to it. And, I mean, this is really the only example of a film based off a video game that is a family movie. You look at all the other stuff, Mortal Kombat, Resident Evil, Silent Hill, it's either horror films or action pictures or some combination of the two.
Now, I love this Mario Paint kind of cheaply animated introduction. In my experience, I find that a lot of video game movies are actually, in a certain way, ashamed of their origins. But I like how this movie revels in its origins as a video game.
Yeah, it was meant to be a lot higher budget of an opening with all these stop-motion dinosaurs and stuff, animatronics, but this gets the idea across. Do you like this 90s CG journey through parallel dimensions?
I can't tell if it's a parallel dimension or just a cave.
Oh, yeah.
But overall, I think it's okay. I mean, it fits with the weirdness of the movie.
I do wonder if this movie would have done better had it come out after Jurassic Park instead of before.
I don't think so. I don't think it would have stood a chance. As much as it shames me to say that, I think if Jurassic Park dominated that summer after it was released, this would have been completely lost in the mix.
Right. So yeah, I saw this in the theater with my dad, and we both walked out a bit confused at the time, but I like this more as I've gotten older. Did you see it by yourself with some friends in the theater at the time?
I know, I saw it with my dad, my brother, and I believe my cousin Travis was with us at the same time. We had a good time. The thing is, I've seen this movie many, many times since then. This movie actually used to be a staple. One of our local stations back in Norfolk, Virginia, WTVZ, used to show this in the 90s, like almost every weekend. It would show up like in the middle of the night, often as part of Dr. Madblood's movie, which I've talked about a whole lot.
Wow. Yeah. It's this movie. It's unique. The beginning with this stuff with the nuns and stuff is very bizarre.
No, I like that they, without question, take this egg incubation chamber into the church. If this movie was made today, I'm sure they would assume that was a bomb.
And just the image of a baby hatching out of an egg, it's almost like something out of a David Lynch film. It's very disturbing.
But it's my kind of disturbing.
In a lot of earlier drafts of the script, you get to see there's more of an exchange between the King Koopa and the princess's mom in the scene. I guess she's not...
Dennis Hopper, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
Academy Award nominated Dennis Hopper. He never won an Academy Award, surprisingly.
Which is a goddamn shame.
No, I'm not...
Dennis Hopper...
I'm not sure if he won an honorary one or not, but...
Like, posthumously?
He might have, I'm not sure, but I don't think so.
I think this is the first film I ever really saw Dennis Hopper in. But I absolutely love Dennis Hopper as an actor. Did you ever see that movie where he played the raving maniac?
Apocalypse Now?
Oh, no, that's every movie he's ever done. But yeah, Apocalypse Now. Yeah. Like, I love that. That's something else I love about this movie. Everyone in the movie takes absolutely everything completely seriously. There's a non-subtle ad for Newport cigarettes.
Exactly. You know, some of the rumored original casting for the film for Mario was either Tom Hanks or Dustin Hoffman.
Actually, I believe you're correct.
Well, that's from a book, at least, called Game Over, about the history of Nintendo by David Sheff. But I really like Bob Hoskins as Mario.
No, he doesn't. I think this is really good casting.
Does it, Bob?
I think this is the first thing I ever saw John Leguizamo in as well.
Yeah, I saw him in this, and shortly after this, he was on a short-lived sort of Latino in Living Color style show called House of Buggin'.
Yeah, it was a brilliant show that I think only 3 or 4 episodes ever aired. Rumor has it that the reason it was canceled is one of their very first iconic sketches was a parody of Power Rangers where a Shakespearean-trained character gets a job as a Power Ranger, or actor gets a job as a Power Ranger. The rumor is that pissed off Saban so much that Saban threw some weight onto the network and they pulled it. Now, I don't think that's the case. I think it's just another example of Fox not knowing what it has, but, you know.
Did they ever release that on DVD?
Not that I'm aware of. Okay. I think it's a lost classic right now.
So it's always bothered me that John Leguizamo never had a mustache. I asked him about it on Twitter, actually, and he responded like really fast. And he's like, yeah, I really wanted a mustache, but the directors of the film and producers wouldn't let me do it. And I guess, you know, if they both had mustaches, Leguizamo would look older. And you're ultimately trying to appeal to kids. And I guess you want to make them look a bit different. That's why one of them doesn't have a mustache. Does the lack of a mustache on Leguizamo bother you?
No, well, it doesn't bother me. I mean, he can certainly, he can pull off a mustache. But it is one of those kind of bullshit. We got to try to appeal to kids. You don't need to. It's the Mario Brothers. I also like this little... I love this music. I love this little comedy business, we gotta hurry to get to the job music.
And this leitmotif is repeated throughout the film, and the score for this is done by Alan Silvestri, who did the scores for such films as the Back to the Future, all three of those films, and more recently, The Avengers. And
now, did you notice the Scapelli plumber truck, the little detail on there?
No, what did it say?
Well, it had the Scapelli Plumbers. It has, like, with offices in Brooklyn, Paris, Los Angeles, London.
The Scapelli Brothers are something I wish they set up more in the film, because you see them at the beginning and in the end, but not much in the middle.
Yeah, I almost would have liked to have seen them get pulled into the dinosaur dimension and get totally lost.
I mean, you do have a lot of bad guys. You have the Scapelli brothers. You have Ike and...
Mike?
Wait, not Mike. Iggy and Spike, I'm sorry. And King Koopa and all these other guys.
Oh, yeah. Named after the Koopa kids from Mario Brothers 3.
Right, yep. So you get familiar names, and later on there's a character called Toad. But they're totally different than what's in the game. And as I think you mentioned, Thrasher, these older video games that were around at the time this movie came out, I think you just had like Mario World for Super Nintendo, might have been the newest one at the time, had almost no narrative at all. You just were going from different land to different land where, oh, this one's chocolate, this one's, everything's really big.
Well, the Mario games have pretty much been mostly the traditional Mario games, not kind of like Mario RPG, but they've been narrative free.
Yes.
But I think that's to the game's benefit. You know, you're always trying to get to the end of the level. You're always trying to get to the end of the world. You're always trying to get to the princess at the end of the game. It's a nice little escalation.
Now, my wife and I really enjoyed the somewhat recent Super Mario Brothers Wii, where it's like an old Mario game, side-scrolling 2D, but people can play it simultaneously.
Oh, yeah, I've checked that out. It's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty easy compared to some of the older ones, but yeah, pretty fun as well.
Now, I've seen a lot of classic New York signifiers in this movie, but I have yet to see a famous Rays, an original Rays, a famous original Rays, an original famous Rays, a Rage original famous pizza, pizza from famous Ray, or any such.
Why don't you explain what that is to our listeners?
It is, for whatever reason, it's a very popular naming convention for pizzerias in New York. There's lots, as they say in the movie Elf, there's thousands of pizza places all claiming to be the original Rays, but none of them are. I believe they even comment on that in the classic Kung Fu Blaxploitation mashup of The Last Dragon.
Yeah, that very well could be the case. William H. Macy is also in The Last Dragon in a small part.
There's apparently a Muppet on the other end of that phone.
You have to remember, this is before there were cell phones, so that's why you had pay phones and things.
You act like we're talking about a film from another epoch.
Well, this is 93. That's 19 years ago, as of this recording, in June 2012.
Dang,
you're right. I mean, it's longer than you might think.
No, I think that's somewhat elegant product placement, using the bottle of Evian to refill the radiator on the truck.
Right.
Okay, one lost opportunity.
Yeah?
I really feel like the Mario Brothers Plumbing Company truck, it should have still been a battered, beat-up truck, but I always felt it should have been painted red, and it should have had a white circle with a red M in it. Like, just try to go for some iconography there.
Or maybe half red, half green, I don't know. But it is. You do get a very good joke later in the film where they say they're Mario Brothers and their names are Mario Mario and Luigi Mario.
It can happen.
It can, and that's pretty clever.
Yeah, I do like that gag, because it's always been kind of implied by the games. If not outright stated, actually, that might even be outright stated in the manual for Super Mario Brothers 2. The American version, not the original version.
Did you play much of the Mario Brothers games growing up?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you have a favorite?
They're very fun. Overall, I'm going to have to say Super Mario Brothers World for the Super Nintendo. Fantastic game.
I really played the most of, I think, Super Mario Brothers 3 on the Nintendo. Although I do really like the quirkiness of Super Mario Brothers 2, the American version, even though it's a very weird Mario game for various reasons that we're not going to get into.
There, but for the grace of Akira Toriyama, go I.
So what do you think about the character of Daisy in this film, played by Samantha Mathis?
She's not a terrible character. But, like, this is the thing I love. There are no shitty characters in this movie. Like, I like that she's not just a damsel in distress. She's a professional woman with an academic background. She has the like the Mario Brothers, she has the makings of a hero in her. Oh, well, that's something you don't see much anymore. The Klondike Five. Very often in movies, but usually in television, if they wanted to have a fake telephone number, but they didn't want to use the cliched and obvious 555, it would be KL5, which I believe was supposed to be short for Klondike for some reason.
That just...
You see it on the side of the Mario
track. Right, that just makes me think of the Simpsons Mr. Plow episode.
No, I noticed. the paint on the Mario Brothers truck looks really old. So did they put Mario Brothers on there the moment Luigi was born, or are they the children of the original Mario Brothers who are now apparently dead?
I think it might just be to get across the fact that the Mario Brothers plumbing business are kind of struggling against their competitors, such as the Scapellis. And
oh, maybe that's not paint. Maybe it's toothpaste.
Could be toothpaste. You never know. They could have scratched it in themselves, and it's... I don't know. So, I mean, Mario has a girlfriend, too. That struck me as kind of weird, but... I don't know.
He's a man. He's got urges and needs that only a woman can satisfy.
He does have urges and needs, and it's right now what he needs is a plate of pasta, which he's digging into.
That, by the way, that is delicious-looking spaghetti meatballs.
I mean, those are real massive meatballs. You know, it's not like, like the teeny ones you get from the freezer section.
You know, usually to get meatballs like that, you got to go to like a nice family-run Italian place, or you just got to make it yourself. It's a homemade type of meatball.
Right. It might even be a spicy meatball.
You're saying that's a spicy meatball?
I was trying to, yeah. So
okay. Well, I think we can both agree that that's a spicy meatball.
Yeah. Confirmed.
It's in the production liner notes for the DVD. How many Scoville units the meatballs were.
Actually, I think the meteorite piece around Daisy's neck works as kind of like hippie jewelry. It doesn't look that out of place.
Yeah. I mean, if I could get away with that, I'd probably wear quartz all the time. Ruby quartz, not regular quartz. I call that liar's quartz. Now, I know this. It just occurred to me that all of Luigi's t-shirts have the yin-yang sign surrounded by flame on them. That's what he was wearing in the opening. Yep. He was wearing a white version in the opening, and this restaurant is wearing a black version. He has like a Charlie Brown wardrobe.
Maybe it's a subtle message they're trying to say. I don't know. So, I mean, we got Iggy and Spike here in the film, and they're kind of bumbling idiots that a change happens to him later in the movie.
Don't give it away.
No, we're not there yet. But I don't know if I find them very funny. I think they're kind of more annoying than anything. But
well, it's fun to watch them fail.
Yeah.
I mean, they're kind of like, could they with an abusive father like King Koopa, could they turn out any other way?
I don't think so. But in the movie, are they supposed to be his children, like in the video game?
Oh, yeah, in Super Mario Bros. 3, the bosses for each stage were the Koopa kids. They were Koopa's 8 children. And Iggy and Spike, I think, were the first... They might have been the first two. I know the third was Cootie Pie. One of them, in a very weird and outdated political reference, even for the time, was Morton C. Koopa Jr. Look it up, kids! It just occurred to me she had that backpack in that nice Italian restaurant.
Oh, you think she was stealing meatballs in that backpack?
Well, I would definitely have packed leftovers. Yeah. You want to keep those leftovers.
There is something nice.
But again, Iggy and Spike, they're way into the character.
Yeah, no, definitely. They're incredibly smart about playing stupid, and the dialogue tries to have this kind of rat-a-tat-tat Abbott and Costello, 1930s kind of stuff. There's a lot of back and forth between the characters. Now, would this be a sexy date for you, Thrasher, going to an abandoned, presumably like confidential excavation site?
I'd be thrilled. Yeah. It would be informative. Yeah. And it would be informative. And I think we might discover a bone.
I see what you did there. Yeah, some privacy.
Yeah, that's a terrible line. But no. I mean, archaeologists do it in a hole. That's what the novelty apron says.
Oh, jeez. So I was reading some earlier versions of the script over at smbmovie.com, And in one of them, the ruins they find that gets them transported to the alternate dimension with the dinosaur and lizard people is set underneath the church where she was dropped off as a baby in one of the versions. And in another version, they're fixing a... Mario and Luigi are fixing a plumbing problem, and it blows out part of the wall underground, and they get sucked in. So there's a few different... And you can read all those at smbmovie.com. They have a lot of neat different versions of the script than what the movie ended up being.
Well, that would make a kind of sense, because as we all learned, the Mario Brothers, while were working on a drain, fell into a warp zone, something, something. So, I'm trying to figure out, was this part of the old pneumatic tube train system?
You know, it could have been. They don't explain it very well. And I think if they would have had a few more Scapelli scenes as threats throughout the movie, whether they get sucked into the dinosaur part or whatever it would have been.
Look at Bob Hoskins' eyes in that scene. He's clearly willing to murder the Scapellis.
He comes across as really intense. He's kind of shouting this whole movie. It's the opposite of his performance as Detective Eddie Valiant in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Bob Hoskins can do grumpy very well.
Now, I will say this. Normally, wouldn't you try to shut off the main before working with those pipes?
I think they're just trying to work with the tools on their belt, what they have. If they spend all this time trying to explore and find the main to shut off, they might get flooded out.
Yeah, but they're not following good, proper plumbing procedure.
It's nice to...
I'm starting to wonder whether they're licensed and bonded.
They might not be licensed or bonded. It's tough to tell in this film. But it's nice to see them do some actual plumbing work, however little it is.
Yeah, we were cheated out of seeing some plumbing action in that opening.
Right.
Okay, I gotta say, it always creeps me out in a movie when someone can smell a woman.
Yeah,
that just seems like something the serial killer does.
Definitely. The relationship between Mario and Luigi in the film, I think, is pretty nice. It's pretty paternal. And, I'm just trying to imagine what Tom Hanks would have been like as Mario or Dustin Hoffman. I think Dustin Hoffman in particular could have done a really performance.
I say we do Dustin Hoffman as Mario and Tom Hanks as Luigi.
There you go.
Come on, Mario! He would say.
Yep, and I can't imitate Dustin Hoffman. So.
But I can. Yeah? We have to get the we have to stop the Scapellis. The Scapellis. Hmm. Now, I do notice that a light attached to an extension cord was dropped into some water. That is highly dangerous.
It also looks like one of those lights you have around film sets.
They're just using whatever they had on
it. That's what it looks like, yeah. But I don't know. I'm not a plumber. It might be a special plumber's light.
I would say this is a very well-lit cave.
Extremely well-lit.
That's something that I've never really liked in movies, the preponderance of well-lit caves.
Good old 90s CG.
I'm sorry, Luigi, but your princess is in another wall.
That's a very creepy effect. You get all this scarring on her face.
I do kind of like that the dimensional rift is just a wall of stone that ripples when you get too close to it. I like that it's not a crazy ass vortex or really any special effect that would have looked terrible at the time.
You wouldn't have rather to seen a big green pipe that they jump down?
Part of me would have, but then you'd have to explain how scientists in the dino world were building an interdimensional pipe. That could have been a whole alternate thing. They're building a pipe to flush all their waste into New York, but the pipe had backfired and all of New York's waste was flushing into Dino.
Ew. World.
Or Mushroom Kingdom, whatever you want to call it.
I like how tenuous Mario is about doing this leap to
to save his brother.
But he's talented. He did a whole backflip.
He did.
No, I do like that the gap between dimensions looks like a geode. I think that's kind of cool. It's like you're traveling through a fractal universe.
It reminds me, for some reason, of some of the special effects in the movie Spawn.
You know, I've never seen that. I've only seen the animated series.
Oh, John Leguizamo stars in that as the clown guy.
That's true.
And he's actually pretty good in it. I haven't seen the film since it came out on videotape.
You know, the music kind of reminds me of the score from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
It's the same composer as well. Alan Silvestri did Who Framed Roger
Rabbit.
That
would make sense.
Yeah. But I do like the cartoon sound of the score. So, I mean, some of the set design, like one of the main set designers, I forget his exact title, sadly, but he also worked on Blade Runner and he worked on this film, and you can see similarities.
Well, I mean, this really is a degenerated cyberpunk world that they've entered.
To me, it looks like a mixture of Blade Runner and the Total Recall original film with Arnold Schwarzenegger. I get a feeling of some of that, too, with all the taxi cabs and the electricity.
I love the store. All the store signs are named after monsters from the game. Thwomps, bullet bills.
Yeah, it's pretty,
it's nice touch,
pretty subtle, too.
Good nod to the source material. You know, actually, this is something, because I used to have a subscription to Nintendo Power Magazine, and they had, like, for a while had an article about, you know, the making of the movie. All the stuff, pretty much all the stuff in the Dino World, this was an old cement factory that they threw up some walls and sets in.
Right. The vast majority of this film was filmed in Wilmington, North Carolina, where they also filmed part of the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles live-action film. Dawson's Creek was filmed around there. There's a art school, North Carolina School of the Arts, in Wilmington, North Carolina. So they've been doing, and I think even part of Iron Man 3 is filmed in North Carolina, believe it or not. So.
Like those little scavenger dinosaurs.
There's something nice about, even though Jurassic Park, as we've covered earlier in the sequel cast, you can check us cover that whole trilogy at sequelcast.com. You know, Jurassic Park, it had a lot of practical dinosaur effects, but then some CG for the wide shots. And this one, it's all practical for the dinosaur effects, for the most part. Aside from some of the mutation stuff later on. And the way Yoshi looks in this film, as we'll see later, I think looks really fantastic.
Well, it's a top quality animatronic. I was a teenage mammal, but it was a top quality animatronic. It was actually repurposed. There was a McDonald's commercial where, like, a kid made a wish to have his own dinosaur, and it was the exact same animatronic. Wow. Only they used they did some sort of matte shot to make it look giant.
Hmm. So, who is this actress that's with Dennis Hopper in this scene?
I do not know.
Let me look that up, but she has been in some of the Harry Potter movies, and she also was the bad guy in season 4 of True Blood.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Her name is Fiona Shaw.
I love his office. If I was had like a tyrannical corporate overlord, this would be the office I'd give him.
It's interesting what they do with Dennis Hopper's hair in this. I mean, it's sort of back in spikes.
It's reptilian.
Yeah, reptilian looking and platinum blonde. And so. And then meanwhile, the hair of her looks a bit like Bride of Frankenstein.
Okay, his sons. Who's the one on the left? Is that Iggy?
I have no idea.
Well, whoever the one on the left is, I have a friend who, when he dresses up, looks just like Iggy.
The one with the goatee?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. When he throws on like a long coat, he turns into Iggy. And he plays in a number of our LARPs. He's great. He's a great guy. He really commits to roles.
As opposed to me, who becomes really obnoxious.
but in a way that I find very entertaining and endearing.
Whenever I'm able to make it to whatever LARP I'm able to make it to, I'm going to have to overact to make up for the whatever 7-year gap it's been.
Well, yeah, we'll pack in a full 7 years into one 3-hour game.
A lot of monologues. Okay.
And speeches. Awesome. Fallout food. Iguana on a stick.
There's also a scene in the international version of the Schwarzenegger Conan the Barbarian where he eats a lizard on a stick.
Cool.
It's a similar joke.
Now, I do like how that most of the dinosaurs look pretty human. Just, you know, convergent evolution.
Yeah, that's sort of interesting. But I guess that would have been a lot more expensive if they all had, like, quasi lizard dinosaur prosthetics.
I wouldn't expect them to do that. But at the same time, it does raise up a lot of questions. For instance, if they're not mammals, why have they evolved breasts?
I mean, this joke here with the old woman and the stun gun could have been from Total Recall with Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's a very wacky joke. Big Bertha right there in the red with all the spikes.
She's a whole lot of woman.
Absolutely.
I love these messed up Tesla cars that they have. Not Teslas in the brand, Teslas in the apparent principle of their functioning.
So as you mentioned before, notice on the boots it says Thwomp right there, a reference to a character in the video game. She has
super boots. They have a logical explanation for the high jumping from the video
game. That's cute touch. It's I didn't mention, although this score was done by Alan Silvestri, who did things like The Avengers and Who Framed Roger Rabbit, it has never officially been released on DVD or on CD. There was a soundtrack to the film, but it was all the pop music in the movie. There's a Toad played by Mojo Nixon.
That's a neat kind of freaky cameo.
Yeah, in a different version of the script, he was originally a much more main character, and it was more of a Mario, Luigi, and Toad going through all the adventures. So,
well, you know, when you're a fish out of water, it's always good to have a native guide.
Right. Those killer Bob Hoskins eyes.
I love the design on these vehicles. It's really nice.
It's very nice. The door looks like the jail cell.
So these are all the women that they've been kidnapping, thinking they're the princess, or all the prostitutes they plan on murdering.
Right. And one of them is Mario's girlfriend. And it's kind of a shame they have all these women trapped in a room for a lot of the film. But... Again, it's called Super Mario Brothers. That's who the film is focused on.
Excellent braking mechanism, just like in the Air Force.
Yeah. There's a lot of things you can call this a Super Mario Brothers movie, but predictable is not one of them.
This is hot. This is just hot right here.
The rubbing the heel.
This is my executive fantasy.
Are you going to reenact that later with your lady friend?
Oh, more than a friend.
Right. There's the Mario joke. That actor looks kind of familiar too, the cop. What does it mean to be defungused? You're just sort of...
Well, I mean, if it was our world, they'd be being deloused, but in this world, they're being defungused. Because of all that crazy, slimy growth we saw during all the establishing shots.
In several interviews, Bob Hoskins says he wished he would have never made this movie. Really? Yeah, and he mentions originally it had a screenplay that was much better, and I believe that the one he's talking about is one of the ones you can read over at smbmovie.com.
Was that the one that was... Because if I remember correctly, one of the screenwriters was one of the creators of Max Headroom. Is it the one that was a lot more cyberpunk?
Not the screenwriter as much, but the two directors on this film, whose names I don't have in front of me at the moment, both directed episodes of Max Headroom and stuff. But originally there was a screenplay that was more science fiction-y and... or more fantasy, like the video game, and then it got more science fiction as things went on. But anyway... The script changed a lot. There's a lot of reshoots with completely different directors and things. So, but Bob Hoskins.
I love this human kennel.
Reminds me a little bit of Planet of the Apes.
You know, in its own way.
I like how his hair is cut with the curly Q with Toad.
Now, mind you, Toad doesn't have curly hair. He has a polka dot mushroom head.
Yeah. But
I still like the effort to give him some interesting business with his head.
All right, it gives an interesting look for the character. I mean, the voice of Toad in the later Mario video games is really obnoxious.
The one that's like this!
Hey, Mario, how you doing?
That's Cookie Monster.
I guess it's Cookie Monster. But I mean, in the video games, like, Mario is so stereotypically Italian... And it should be noted, you know, you're not having Italian actors play any of the Mario Brothers in this film, but I think it still works. I don't know. I think they have a chemistry between them.
Well, I buy them. You know, I completely buy them in these roles. I like that Koopa's a very hands-on tyrant.
It's a bit unusual. He takes him into an office. He doesn't take him to, like, his throne room or his mud bath.
That's for later. I also like that he's a little bit obsessive compulsive. Yeah. I think that's a neat character affectation.
Is it because he doesn't like that he's shaking hands with a human, or...?
I think it's a combination of that and also the paranoia about the fungus.
Right. The fungus is something I think could have been set up earlier in the film because it becomes a lot more important later on.
Well, I like the gradual reveal that as it slowly becomes less set dressing and more important plot point as the film goes on. I think setting it up might have put way too much at the beginning of the film. I like how this film escalates into the strangeness. It doesn't just hit you over the head with it.
It does get weirder and weirder as it goes on. You're right, and I think that's part of what makes it memorable. I mean, you look at so many other video game movies, whether it's Double Dragon or Street Fighter Legend of Chun-Li or...
I've got to say, this scene here is pretty intense for a kid's movie with the eye gouging and the police brutality.
It's interesting you mention the intensity. I read the autobiography of John Leguizamo he came out with a few years ago, and he mentions the directors had all this R-rated stuff on the set. They had, like, strippers with nudity in one of the scenes in the bar. Originally, and they were filming it and had all sorts of crazy violence and all these things. And it was like, when they made the movie, it's almost like the directors didn't realize, wanted a more mature audience than what they were obviously trying to aim for with the Mario Brothers name. So who knows what cutting room footage is on the floor, you know, is lost to time. But
I would love to check some of that stuff out, definitely. I mean, to the best of my, because I don't know if it's different for you, but the DVD edition that my girlfriend has, it's real basic. No features. No. It's
That's the only one that's out there. It just has the movie and I think maybe a trailer, if that, and that's it. But
yeah, this really deserves a 20th anniversary special edition.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. I was talking, if you listen to the sequel cast special episode on Super Mario Brothers, I talked to Stephen Applebaum of SMBMovie.com, and... him and his colleagues at smbmovie.com are working on producing a documentary about the making of the film that they hope to get on whatever the next release of the DVD is. So they've been talking to producers, directors of the film, and all these things. So I hope whatever the next release of this Super Mario Brothers movie is, that it gets commentaries, deleted scenes, all kind of cool stuff.
You know, that still looks like Mojo Nixon.
Yes.
It's a Goomba. Oh, that's another character touch I didn't notice, that Hopper keeps holding his hands like a T-Rex.
Oh, yeah.
He keeps doing that little T-Rex wristy thing.
What do you think about the design of the Goombas? Big body, teeny little head.
Well, I think that's a compromise. The big body certainly makes them look threatening. The little head makes them look comical, like they are in the video game. But again, it is a compromise because they can't really do mushroom men and they can't really do turtles. But they'll do kind of a giant with a freaky fetal dinosaur head.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of detail in that design too. It looks really off-putting. It's memorable, and in fact, there's kind of a joke going around the internet. You have the upcoming Amazing Spider-Man live-action film coming out, and they joke that the lizard in that looks like the Goombas in this movie.
Huh.
Have you seen a side-by-side picture of that?
No, I haven't, although now I'm tempted
It looks similar. It's not as close as people are saying, but that it's sort of a humanoid reptile thing.
Okay, where did that slime come from?
It looks like poop.
From?
Yeah, I don't know. That's gross.
Yeah, I think we're missing yep. something. I think that's one of those deleted scenes. Either somebody got too de-evolved and turned into slime, or...
It could be, right. That's a nice touch with the iris looking reptilian for a second. There's a story when Dennis Hopper did this movie, he, had a... His son was, like, younger at the time, and he said, oh, I did this movie, if you like the video game, I did this movie for you. And his son was asking, why did you do the movie? And he says, well, I wanted to afford to buy you some more shoes. And Dennis Hopper's son looks at him and says, Dad, I don't need shoes that badly. So.
I like the little Deus Ex Machina with the ba-bomb.
I appreciate how the ba-bomb looks just like it does in the video game.
Yeah, it's a really faithful adaptation. It's a goof. It's also a goofy little item.
Unlike anything else in the game.
I also like that it's... Just one of the better running gags in the movie. Just everybody seeing it, being shocked. Ba-bomb!
Yeah. So this is kind of a zip line that they're on, huh?
I guess that would be for moving cages. Yeah. Was that Whoopi Goldberg?
No, it's not Whoopi Goldberg.
Because I was about to say that would be a neat cameo if it was, like before she was involved with Theodore Rex.
Was this before?
This was a few years before Theodore Rex, yeah.
Couldn't have been much before.
Maybe 2-4 years, something like that. No, I like how the police officers that were in that one car that was pulling out took absolutely no notice.
Right.
Of the escapees.
I do have to say, even though the movie has impressive set design and costumes... you mentioned it used to be a concrete factory, and there's not as much set dressing on the walls and stuff as there could be in some of these sets.
Well, it just makes things look more dystopian.
Well, that's true. It's you even get a whiff of Mad Max in here with how some of the vehicles look.
Yeah. Oh, and actually, the using a concrete factory, it's very appropriate, because one of the first Mario games was Mario's Cement Factory. I also like the use of fireball guns as opposed to standard firearms. It really helps it reinforce the fantasy elements.
I never caught that as a reference to the game, but I think you're right.
Oh, I like that little tag on their mugshots, unnecessary, or use of unnecessary force is authorized.
Right. It's nice you have all these signs around the city, Koopa City, of, elect King Cooper for, I don't know if it's mayor or president, and one has him kissing a baby, one is kind of a propaganda-style artwork poster.
It actually is a shame that we only really, he looks great in that Generalissimo outfit that he was wearing when he was first introduced. I kind of wish he was wearing more of that, although the corporate tyrant outfit looks really good,
right.
too.
I think that's a cool look on the guy in the car, where it's like human skin, but you get reptilian stuff poking out underneath. It would have been nice to see...
He's got a bad case of the scales.
It would have been nice to see more of that on some of the extras in the movie.
Yeah. Like some forehead ridges, some claw
right.
fingers,
yeah.
things like that. No, I do notice that it's really hit or miss whether or not these sort of bumper car type power sources for these cars are actually making any kind of complete circuit. Because sometimes in a chase, you don't need to go faster.
That's a Smokey and the Bandit move right there. Slam on the brakes, the police crash into each other comically.
No, we ought to do that. Mario and Luigi on the run from the law.
They're looking for dinosaurs no matter what they saw. Okay.
No, I'm guessing this parallel universe, Koopa City, apparently has the same road street layout as Manhattan Island, because that seems to be how they're navigating.
Right. And whenever I saw this movie, I always wish at the time if they would have made a video game based off the movie for Super Nintendo or something.
They did.
What? Did they?
Yes, they did. They actually scanned in photographs of they took photographs of the actors and their stunt doubles in certain key poses, and that's how the characters were made.
Did this game come out?
It was a
really?
Side scroller. It did come out. It was a side scroller. Like all video games based on movies, it wasn't that good. But this has the unique distinction of being a video game based on a movie based on a video game. Just even more reinforcing that you should just play the classic.
I think you're incorrect, but we'll let our listeners decide.
Oh, no, it is.
Okay, I'll post about it on our Facebook page. We can hash it out there.
All right. Car is covered in smegma.
Ew. I like how gross the smegma... the fungus.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I like how gross the fungus looks.
I love that he's wearing a wardrobe tag on his jacket.
That mud looks more like a chocolate milkshake.
Well, it brings all the boys to the yard.
I hope Dennis Hopper pitched a fit before he crawled in the mud to do a scene for this film.
Oh no, I mean it's pretty relaxing. It's heated mud, man. And think of how little wardrobe you have to worry about in a scene like this. Just sink into the mud.
So the line just there, the female in the scene said that Iggy and Spike were his relatives. But do they ever outright say there is children in the film? Like in the video game?
I will freely admit I don't recall them ever saying that they're his children. I know in the video game they are, but maybe they're nephews in this film. I guess he killed the rest of his family.
It would have been nice to know. It doesn't matter in the end, but...
Nice dress.
Jeez.
She you know what? She looks like a sexy piece of ribbon.
It's a lot of cleavage for a kid's film, again.
That was just the right amount for me. But I appreciated certain things at that age.
Have you ever seen the show True Blood?
Yes, I have.
Did you see the season that this actress was on?
No, I'm afraid I didn't.
She's very, very creepy in that. If you see season 4 of True Blood,
she's creepy now.
Yeah, she is creepy now, but if she's really scary in season 4 of True Blood, it's just, she's like possessed by someone else, and I don't want to get into it, but.
although this does bring up some pretty unsavory, you know, like this, the potential for
fan fiction.
I was about to say mammal on reptile on mammal action, but then it just occurred to me. Oh wait, no, she's a reptile. But then that means that the reptile and mammal action does exist with her and Luigi.
But would she be part reptile, part human if she looks so human and can exist on Earth without?
Well, they all look yeah. human for reasons involving some sort of evolution. You know, I doubt they could reproduce. Let me put it that way. They would be genetically incompatible. We assume that their genitals are like... since the rest of their body looks like a mammal, we assume that their genitals would be mammalian-like. But maybe not.
Right.
Maybe they have one of those weird, like, fluted extensions.
As annoying as I find Iggy and Spike in the beginning of the film when they're stupid, I think they're a lot funnier when they get smart. Because they're...
Oh, no, they're hilarious when they're irritated.
Yeah, it's still a combination of, like, stupid and smart, though. It's a very fine line. And that they...
Although this does bring up a question. Why hasn't he done this before? Or has he worried was he worried about potential competition? Or better yet, why didn't he use it on himself to give himself a super brain?
You know, there might be the danger of an overdose, having a super, super brain, and you just explode or die or whatever, and can't handle it. But I think maybe he's afraid if he gives too many people super brain powers that they'll throw a coup d'etat and overthrow him. But he wants the plumbers, he wants the meteorite piece so bad that he's willing to upgrade his sons, cousins, whatever they are.
Now, actually, that's another bit of a thing that is just now occurring to me. Because, you know, their brains have been enhanced, they're more intelligent. Where do they get their vocabulary from? When did they have a chance to learn all these words and how to use them?
You're right. It's not like they're hooked up to a machine like Clockwork Orange where they're fed all these images and things and learn. This is...
Now, I will say the thing. There is few things creepier than a woman wearing her dead mother's clothes for any reason whatsoever.
I get an oddly sexual vibe from the scene. I'm not sure why, but it's just the...
I don't consider it odd.
No, it's the costumes, or I don't. It's just so, the music, it's tonally, it's very weird from the rest of the film. Mm-hmm. And the MacGuffin of the film is the meteorite piece that was around her neck, and when the bad guys find it, they can merge the dimensions between the alternate dinosaur universe and present day Manhattan.
For some reason.
Yeah.
Probably conquest. Although that's something that... Because as near as I can tell, they are one city populated by dinosaurs. It would be them versus the whole Earth. And I don't know if they've checked, but Earth has nuclear weapons.
And what is so great about them being on Earth compared to the dinosaur world? Why are they so angry at humans?
Well, no fungus and more food, presumably. A more pristine environment that hasn't been ravaged by nuclear winter the way theirs were. There's such gusto in all of their line readings. Yep.
Also notice how Dennis Hopper as King Koopa doesn't have eyebrows.
You know? That's a good point.
That was done on purpose to make him look reptilian. I learned that from Stephen Applebaum on our sequel cast special on Super Mario Brothers. Here's Yoshi.
It works.
Wonderful design. I just love all the detail and work that went into it. And all the creature voices, including the voice, so to speak, of Yoshi, were done by voice actor Frank Welker.
Legend.
Yep. Who did not only such famous voices as Megatron, but has voiced countless cartoons, animal voices, whatever. He's done so much stuff.
Okay, so what do you think Yoshi's evolved from? Do you think he's a compy or what?
He looks a bit like a compy from Jurassic Park. And the question is, if they're all originally dinosaurs that have evolved to look human, why would they keep something that looked like a dinosaur? Is this the example of like a rich person? I guess it's like a pet.
Well, of course he's a pet, but well, think about it. You have a dog and a cat, right?
A dog and two cats, yeah.
And they're evolved from the same proto mammal that we're evolved from. Do you think that's weird?
Kind of, yes.
And yet you still have it.
Yep.
No, I like that we never actually see that giant tower that's on his map.
You think that's supposed to be the city?
Oh, it absolutely is the city. Not to scale, of course.
Right.
I keep expecting Koopa to just start rapping at any minute.
That would not have been out of place in the 90s.
You know, I also like the suggestion of scales on his business suit.
Oh, yeah. All the shimmering.
Actually, that looks very similar to an urban sorcerer type cloak that I had a friend of mine, that I commissioned a friend of mine to make.
God, that ton is gross.
Gross, but useful. there is some real menace in this scene.
I mean, they never forget the first time they're kissed by a lizard. I don't know. Yeah, there's some truly disturbing things. And that's kind of necessary in a kid's film, too, or any film on that matter. If you're going to have a villain, you have to have him really be threatening and scary. And
he's mean to pets, which is unforgivable. that's the weird thing. You can have the villain visit any kind of indignity on another human being, but the moment they fuck with an animal is the moment that they lose. You learn to really hate them.
Right.
I don't know what messed up part of our brains works that way, but notice they're evolved, but it hasn't made them better drivers.
Now that vehicle really looks like something out of Mad Max.
Yeah. Oh, there's Luigi ready to crack open their skulls and feast upon the moist goodness inside.
The picture quality on this DVD looks really crummy looking. I can't wait to an eventual Blu-ray or high definition release, whether it's a download or whatever.
It would be nice to see the resolution and the color pumped up a bit. That being said, it does make it look like a relic of the 80s, which in many ways it is.
Yep.
Even though I think it came out in the 90s. No, I do. One thing that also jumps out at me. So it's a fragment of a meteorite. So this giant meteorite hits the Earth. Only that one little bit breaks off.
Right, and I guess if the meteorite crashed in the dinosaur alternate dimension, wouldn't there be pieces of it scattered all around? Why is the one so special?
Maybe all the fragmenty pieces. Maybe they all went into our dimension.
Right.
Actually, they're tied up in Robin Williams' old suspenders. They could have asked him to be Koopa.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to get those plumbers. Yes, fantastic, wonderful. Go to clean the pipes. Oh, yes. Oh, there's the tower in the city.
The one shot of it.
Oh, wow, that's disturbing. They're World Trade Centers, but one of them is, like, blown up.
At the time...
I know that it hadn't happened yet. It's just weirdly, it's creepy seeing that image.
I think with the way all the production design and costumes look in this film, they had to make Yoshi look kind of like a dinosaur as opposed to being green and round and cuddly in the video game. Yeah, because that would have looked really out of place in this movie.
But I like the look. I like the look for Yoshi.
I like how he looks in the movie, but I said if he looked like he did in the video game in this movie, it would look out of place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you used any of the video game designs, it would look out of place. Now, do you notice they have their own Statue of Liberty?
Oh, yeah.
No, that is flagrantly irresponsible, just dumping your garbage into a what appears to be water supply. I've tried that, it doesn't work.
No. It's nice that they're using plumber tools in a fight scene. There's not a whole lot of action in this movie. They have to think of something.
Those masks are disturbing.
Yes. Da, 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 da,
I really don't want to think about what they do in those masks. And I bet the masks smell terrible.
Sure. How hot and sweaty they'd get inside the mask.
No, I think sparks are the city's chief export.
Hmm. So now they're dressed up in like Dumb and Dumber style
lounge suits. Women's lounge suits, as Spike and Iggy have just proclaimed. Yep. Neat use of music.
Do you like the music in this scene?
Yeah, yes, yes, I believe I do. I like the look of this scene. I mean, this is like the fucked up cyberpunk dance club, although not nearly dark enough. It needs to be dark. It needs to have some more lasers.
But it does feel a little bit like the bar in Total Recall with Arnold Schwarzenegger on Mars.
It's a great song, by the way. This song is actually also used in Monkey Bone for the Lord of Sleep's lounge. Hmm. Nice dino dance. Oh, I like that their unit of currency is the coupon. That's a nice little detail.
But they also mentioned Koopa coins earlier in the film.
Wow, spikes on your ass. This must be the scene that had all those strippers that you mentioned. I feel cheated.
I mean, so this whole dance scene coming up with Mario and Big Bertha is just weird. Like, I don't know. It just struck me as very out of place when I first saw this film. But they know, but she has the crystal. They have to get the meteorite piece from her.
Without mugging her.
Yes.
It must be done with subtlety. So what do you think, what do you think is in a parking garage underneath them?
Yeah, there could be. I don't know if people in the Dino alternate dimension can afford cars except for the cops and the rich.
It also occurred to me that if you were down there, you could just look straight up.
Yep.
And now, something slow. Well, we know what he's thinking.
That's a nice meteorite piece.
I do kind of wish there was a little bit more choreography in this dance sequence.
It is a very simple... He gets it in his mouth. That's not...
Let's have your teeth.
Yeah. Like, she wouldn't notice that. What is your mouth
doing? No, she did notice it. She clearly noticed it. She's noticing everything, but this is their game of seduction.
You think it's a bit weird that his tuxedo is yellow, it's not red?
Yeah, that
and
is
Luigi's
weird.
Is red, not green. I don't know.
And those gloves are bizarre.
Oh, they're doing dry humping on the dance floor.
They look like lunch lady gloves.
Yeah.
Now, she does seem a little bit surprised,
yeah.
Which I find odd.
You do see more lizard-looking people in this scene. Walk the dinosaur.
Another classic relic.
And this version has slightly changed lyrics for the film.
Yep. Really?
How so? I don't know what the different lyrics are, but I know they were slightly changed.
That would be an interesting side-by-side comparison.
I guess. I mean, this song was used in a lot of movies, such as the Flintstones movie, which came out a bit later after this.
Oh, you know what else I love about the Flintstones movies? Which, now that I think about it, we probably ought to cover... Yeah. Is that the B-52s do a lot of the music, but they're credited and appear in the film as the BC-52s. Flintstones, meet the Flintstones! Again, way too hot for a kid's movie.
A lot of very sexual costumes, particularly in this scene... And this is gross, just drinking the worm out of the vodka shot glass.
No, that was a snake.
A snake, yeah. So why does Big Bertha decide to help him all of a sudden?
Because he's all man.
I guess.
No, I like that they run on CO2 cartridges. That's pretty cool. Nice attention to detail.
You think that also could have been a reference to, like, Nintendo cartridges?
Oh, quite possibly.
Not that they look like them, but...
And they have boxes over their heads. Another reference to the video game.
Is it?
Well, yeah, because you remember you jump up and hit the boxes?
Oh!
That's how I always took that scene, why they didn't just burst through.
No, you're probably right.
Unless they were teaching kids like a valuable lesson about flying through glass. Have a box over your head. How many times have I heard that? That's a little Rocky Horror type exchange.
Yeah.
Daisy, Mario, the tower.
The Goombas.
The Rock. Yeah. Rocky. That's a nice philosophy, I gotta say.
Improbable, unlikely, but never impossible.
Well, so that I believe it was Ray Bradbury had said that we need a new word, and that word is impossible. Something that is impossible is something that could happen, but the conditions aren't right yet.
This has always creeped me out, the head poking out from the fungus.
The fungus foreskin head, yeah. You'd think this room would be much more overgrown with the fungus.
The room, like, looks plain except for all the fungus stuff.
Maybe he was just concentrating too hard on growing out.
You think it'd be in a jail cell.
Well, one thing I've noticed is that apparently that he's devolved, but it didn't destroy his will like the Goombas.
Right.
Like, at least on an instinctual level, he still wants to do what's best for the city. Just imprinted on every cell of his fungoid body. Although, to be fair, I don't think you could really devolve any animal into fungus. It would turn into some sort of multi-celled and single-cell organism, none of which would be fungus. I think that division happened a long time ago. Not that I'm challenging the scientific validity of the Super Mario Brothers movie. I like that he's just hanging around with a gun. And that's how I order it.
Hold the worms and spicy. It's a strange scene. I don't know. I don't think it really works. It kind of interrupts the momentum of them sneaking into the tower. But it's the 90s. You had to have a pizza joke.
Well, I think it's just so that they put that in there so they can just cut back to Luigi and Mario in the Towers Foundation.
Yeah.
Without having to... It's a less abrupt cut than it would have been otherwise. And it also shows that Koopa, like a lot of tyrants, like a lot of movie villains, is far too overconfident. He thinks victory is assured, so he's going to relax with some pizza.
But if King Koopa's the head of the Mushroom Kingdom, or whatever it's called in this movie, couldn't he have a personal chef to make him a pizza?
But he wants it authentic. You know, you don't have a personal chef can't make you authentic New York pizza. You got to order out for it when you're in New York. I like that they're using their plumbing knowledge to move the plot along. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's
a lot of films would forget that these guys are plumbers.
No, it's definitely a running thread throughout the film, which is nice. Even though them being plumbers never is covered in the video games, really.
But it's all in the manual, and the fact that they go down pipes. Ah, here we go. They're in the costumes that we've been waiting an hour and 6 minutes
to see. How did they get those costumes? They just found them?
No, they went into a utility closet. Those are maintenance workers' overalls.
It would have been nice to see them suit up.
Well, we saw them pose in the aftermath of suiting up. I kind of like this little comic business with them repositioning in the elevator.
Okay, so he calls them cousins, so now we know Spike and Iggy are his cousins.
So they're cousins, so they're probably his nephews.
And that's another sort of like line for adults. I want you. This is hardly the place and time for that, Lena.
I Every Dennis Hopper movie has the scene where he has a little freak-out speech like this, and I love that even in the Mario Brothers movie, he gets his little freak-out moment. You know, you never see people cosplay as the movie Goombas.
No, but I'm sure it's around there somewhere. If you look on SMBmovie.com, you can see some cosplay and certainly people dressing up as Mario and Luigi from the movie. There has been people that have cosplayed as Goombas from the film at some point. I mean, what you do for the mask, I don't know if he ever came out with official Halloween mask of the Goombas at the time.
This is a weird bit of business.
Yeah. Maybe they play elevator music just to keep the Goombas stupid. I don't know. Like, it's...
Well, no. It's just like their simple brains respond to the rhythm, but... But I remember, I believe this song was from the water level of the original Super Mario Brothers game.
No, but it sounds similar to it. You're right. Yoshi is so darn cute.
That's raw something or other.
Is it pizza? No.
Looks like liver.
It's like raw steak.
If only.
And we know it's Toad because of the harmonica.
I like this little vegetarian moment. It's a nice character trait, and I like that it's not. I like that it's not used for a cheap gag. Because another movie that came out around this time, The Thief and the Cobbler, has a really shitty vegetarian gag in it. Lots of movies have shitty vegetarian.
What shitty vegetarian gag is from Thief and the Cobbler? That's a cartoon, right?
It's not a cartoon, it's a disaster. The studio took a man's life work, a film that it took 30 years to complete, and shat all over it. But the line is the evil vulture who talks, who's not supposed to talk, but they dub lines over him. I'm so hungry I could eat a vegetarian. It doesn't work in the movie. It doesn't work outside of the movie. Oh, here we go. See, I like to pretend that the winner gets to have me.
Yeah.
And Yoshi manifests his power from the games.
It's impressive. Now, do we understand that he eats her completely?
Well, he's trying. Oh.
Jeez.
That's harsh. I mean, that's another, like, that level of cruelty to an animal, even a dinosaur, you don't normally see.
Not only that, look at this level of skin shown off on that dress.
Now, the thing is, they're so unobservant. Is there any reason why they couldn't just have climbed out of that hatch to begin with?
Probably not. I guess maybe they wanted to have him dance for 5 minutes to make sure they're into it. I like how some of these guys have lizard faces and the other ones have more of the Goomba faces.
Well, I figure it depends what type of dinosaur you're descended from.
Could be.
But they got the music in them. No, I like that there's fire extinguishers here, so that safety is a concern in the Koopa regime. I gotta say, those veggies look better than any other food item we've seen in this entire movie.
They don't look cooked.
Look nicely grilled. That's pretty grim.
Yeah, on fire.
Hey, safety pays off. I mean, it's bad luck to set an idiot on fire.
I almost wish they would have had like a prehistoric version of a fire extinguisher.
Like, what, like, made of rocks?
Yeah, I don't know. Or... Something.
Although I do notice that that's the limit of her concern after putting out the fire. I hope he's all right. He's clearly going to be murdered.
Yeah. The big reveal. The voice of her father is Lance Henriksen.
You know, I keep, like, whenever I see that, part of me, I know the de-evolution chamber doesn't work this way, but I keep imagining that his skull is in there.
It might be, you know, I think it's like a failed, wasn't he the first person in the de-evolution chamber?
Certainly the first person publicly devolved.
Right, so.
That's a weird, weird form of
that's a creepy Monica. Phallic design. God, that's gross.
Even more smegma.
Smegma as far as the eye can see. Do you like how Luigi has his baseball cap backwards the whole film?
It works with him because he's a younger guy. But it only works with him because of, like, because John Leguizamo was like still in his 20s at this time, right? Yeah, it works with him because that's his age. If he was any other age or played by just about any other actor, I don't think it would work. Now, that being said, this probably is a bad idea to just jump into an elevator shaft.
Yeah.
And that's a nice little bit of a early CGI there.
Yeah.
Must be weird to have your consciousness spread across an entire giant citywide fungal body.
And that if the Koopas all hate fungus so much, why don't they burn any kind of fungus outgrowth in the city?
It must be growing too quickly. Maybe. And his pride won't let him... he has to have the fungal king around to gloat. You know, he can't just kill him or seal him away in a chamber.
Lance Henriksen, the fungus king, also, you know, was like Bishop in Aliens and stuff like that. He's been in a lot of films. God, that's so disgusting.
That's so disturbing to see that him with that knife still in him. That's
oh yeah.
That's difficult to see.
It's not gushing blood.
No, that being said, you normally want to leave it in the wound. You don't want to take it out unless you're. That just occurred to me. She only just now removes the chain, which does not appear to impede his movement at all.
Right, because he could walk into the room. Must be a pretty big chain.
Now, here's a important, I like that you have to shoot the controls. That's nice. That's the way, that's the fucked up society's phone. Now, they were hanging upside down in like a shaft, but that wasn't a shaft that we see them swinging out of.
Maybe the...
I have detected a certain discrepancy within the film.
It could be a deleted scene in there. Who knows?
Maybe so.
I think those guns have to be a reference to the Nintendo Zapper in some way. The gun controller.
Possibly. Do you notice... So do you think this fungus causes any kind of respiratory problems with the spores that would be shedding?
I would think so. I almost wish he would have eaten the mushroom and grown bigger, but...
That would have been cool, or if, like, yeah, it grows him a giant fungal body, or if it just lets him hallucinogenically communicate with the central consciousness of the fungus.
Yeah, again, it's a reference to the game with all the mushrooms, but it's done in a subtle way and not in the way that you would expect.
Spikes everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
This is apparently the only police officer in the city with a speaking part. Oh, you know what? I like that there's tissues on the desk. That's a nice touch to help reinforce the reality.
Yeah. I think part of the reason they hired Dennis Hopper for this movie is they're like, Dennis Hopper, Dennis, you're going to be sitting in a chair for half of the film looking at a TV screen.
I love it.
Like, I don't think she needed rescued, really. She was doing okay by herself.
Well, it's just, you know, it's what Luigi's been prepped to do. Now, okay, now here's a question. Why does their heraldry involve birds? Shouldn't it involve a type of winged dinosaur?
I don't know, but that doesn't get less disgusting the more times I see it.
It's that pulsing part that gets me.
Yeah. Just a slime.
Ugh. So here's a question. Do you think if you have toe fungus, do you think it's an extension of this guy? Do you think he has to spend a lot of time between people's toes?
I think toe fungus is just his failed attempt to resurrect himself in the alternate dimension of Earth.
Oh, now what about the jock itch fungus?
I hate.
Or do reptiles not?
I hate that fungus. Hate it.
Love that T-Rex arm move. That's nice.
Koopa's very condescending.
Has to get the villain pun in there.
You have to sell these lines as much as you can. I mean, I can't imagine. It's...
But then again, everything is totally serious. Everybody totally, totally committed to whatever part they have, whatever lines they're saying. And I love seeing that in movies. I love seeing total commitment of the actors, no matter how silly or ridiculous things get. I think that's one of the reasons why I liked, you know, I've liked the Marvel movies over some of the more recent DC movies. The DC movies don't seem to take their own premises seriously, but the Marvel movies, everybody buys in.
You mean like the recent Batman movies, or more like Green Lantern, or
not counting the Batman movies? So I'm more talking about Green Lantern, things like that.
Well, they also, DC hasn't really been cranking out as many movies as Marvel has. Marvel's had a real focused plan, and supposedly a Justice League movie is in the works after the massive success of the Avengers. So.
It can be fun, but at the same time, I kind of like to see the heroes, like with Marvel, I like to see the heroes do their business separately before they team up.
Right. Coloring a dinosaur picture.
Coloring it green, of all things, it's rather predictable. You should work with a wider palette. Love this little pantomime business. Yeah. It's very sweet, very old-fashioned. Hey, they give them cigarettes. Or, well, maybe that's their own cigarettes, now that I think about it.
It could be a Koopa brand of cigarette that's like lizard flavored. And they never stomp on Goombas in this movie, do they? Do they jump on their head?
No. That would cause irreparable spinal injury. I think that would be a bit too dark for a kid's movie.
There's a nice sign in the background we saw for a second that said, "Walk tall, be proud, be a Goomba."
Good propaganda. Now, that's not fair. When the person's defeated, you can't just keep punching him.
This segment here where they're about to go down the pipes reminds me of like one of those rides at an amusement park where you sit in a theater and the theater kind of tilts to the side to side.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Dennis Hopper almost has like a junkie's face of anticipation when he sees that rock. He is a brilliant actor. Again, obsessive-compulsive.
So I guess they'd have to develop a whole industry of people making these guns and all these weapons and armor and suits and things.
Oh, I'm sure there's contractors that they use. And just like in the game, they're going down a pipe. Now, see, if they were still doing 3D movies back then, this would have been great in 3D.
Yeah, it's definitely the sort of 3D sequence.
You know, it reminds me of the water slides from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
You're right. Even the music sounds like something out of Bill and Ted. Now, couldn't the Goombas just have waited to meet them at the other side? Did they have to chase him down on another mattress?
They're not smart.
No, that much is clear.
And remember, Koopa never ordered them to wait at the bottom. Okay, he'll die of frostbite, seeing as how reptiles are cold-blooded.
And Mario's laughing because he's an asshole. Gotta use plumbing equipment yet again, the wrench.
But no, I like that. I like that, because that's one thing that always bothers me in a lot of zombie movies. Whatever people were doing before the zombie outbreak, whatever their career was, whatever their background was, it's almost completely irrelevant. You never see anyone use their on-the-job skills after the zombies show up.
I wish they could have sped up the footage of them in the snowy corridor, because it just seems awfully slow.
Well, the ice crystals slow down your mattress. Mm. There's a nice mat shot.
Yep.
And they didn't die.
End scene.
That was a nice little action set. There's a part of me that imagines... You see, if this hadn't been based on a video game, if this had been an original pitch, and in my mind, that's the scene that would have gotten them the movie deal.
Yeah.
And there's an ice pipe chase sequence.
I appreciate that Luigi just called Mario Mario Roni.
Well, it's one of those special nicknames that are longer than regular names.
Aside from the bomb, this Bullet Bill looks just like in the video game that he loaded into the gun.
Now, here's something that I've noticed. Koopa seems to know a hell of a lot about human evolution. Have they been spying on us for a while?
Maybe they could send people piece by piece through the portal. If Iggy and Spike, his cousins, went through there, they could send spies over the years.
Yeah, I guess so.
Again, the flamethrower thing brings to mind the way how Bowser King Koopa in the video game blows fire from his mouth. It's your Indiana Jones.
That's gotta be... I'm just thinking, that's gotta be weird to touch that fungus.
Yeah.
For any reason.
I think this action here, this showdown, is some of the best action in the movie.
I wonder, when Koopa's not fighting plumbers, what do you think that cement dunking funnel is used for in the city?
Maybe it's a form of public humiliation. You commit a crime, you're covered in cement. In the town square.
And her hairstyle pays off. Obviously, that's pretty grim, having her electrocuted.
Yeah, there's a lot more gruesome stuff in the movie than you might suspect.
Oh, she's alive! I actually thought she died. Nice bit of sleight of hand from Bob Hoskins.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of want sparks to be coming off of her, just a little more, electricity.
Shit. Some of that hand animated '80s lightning that crawls around everything.
I'm not sure how I feel about this harem that they've acquired. Famous last words. Yep. Well, they would be famous had anyone been around to hear them.
You got a skeleton on the front of that taxi cab there.
Yeah, he's somebody died in front of that taxi. That is a taxi cab confession of a different sort.
I don't think they ever had Robert De Niro in mind for a cameo as someone driving a taxi.
That would have been hilarious, but I don't think
highly unlikely. So just the one teeny piece falls out of the giant meteor. that's somehow related to the dimensions.
Well, I guess it has to do with interdimensional, you know, fractal parallel universe physics. The sensitive. I love this little bit here with the bomb.
Even King Koopa is looking frightened.
You know, war wouldn't be hell if we fought with little wind-up bombs. I call for more whimsical forms of destruction. So did the fungus constitutes any kind of public health hazard?
I think so. You mentioned that earlier. So are you ever a bit annoyed in this movie that it takes Mario and Luigi so long to get their iconic suits?
No, I think it's a good payoff. I think it's better to have that as a payoff later in the film than just something that's thrown around lazily early on.
You know, this movie was always meant to be a prequel to the video game.
Really?
Yeah.
That's how they're justifying it in the continuity?
In an earlier draft of the script, Steve Applebaum of SMBmovie.com mentioned this to me on the sequel cast special episode on this film, that when they go dimensions back to Earth, the combination of the dimensions make everything look like a jungle with giant piranha plants like in the video game.
Well, that would have been
fun. I think so.
Although that being said, shouldn't she have a more reptilian skeleton after she gets fused into the wall? Shouldn't she look more like a dinosaur fossil?
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe with a tail or something in there.
Yeah, just reinforce the whole reptile thing. That's why I gotta check your ammo gauges. Now, I'm not entirely sure why this is happening.
I guess the piece has been put in the meteorite, so now the areas have merged.
So, well, Cooper's getting what he wanted.
I like how it looks pixelated, though, as they kind of disappear bit by bit.
Well, you know what else I noticed? It doesn't hurt. I like that it's apparently very comfortable to be merged pan-dimensionally like that. Okay, that's not how screwdrivers work.
And that you can do it into solid meteorite.
There
Whoa,
it goes again.
That's really scary in that shot.
Weird.
Good catch.
Yeah, I'm not entirely... I'm having a fruit salad of emotions about that visual. Nice tie.
So why is Brooklyn his world again?
Well, because he's taking it
I
over.
See.
Now, I like that. Now, I don't know if you'll notice, but the de-evolution gun, that's just a repainted version of the Super Nintendo bazooka.
The Super Scope.
Which had been released earlier that
yeah.
year.
It's some Lancelot Link style action with the...
Lancelot Link, secret chimp.
But again...
No, I like that everyone's laughing at a guy getting devolved. No one's in a panic that this weapon has now been unleashed.
I think had one of the Scapellis been taken into the alternate world and chased the Mario Brothers there, that would have helped things a bit for this climax. And the mushroom is helping him into a big mushroom.
I think our listeners / viewers can tell. That was a pretty limited dimensional merger. It was limited to just, what, five guys?
Yeah, that's kind of disappointing. You'd think they would have had some kind of super weapon or, I don't know, something more climactic when the dimensions merge.
Yeah, I would have appreciated that. Is that David Lee Roth?
No. I don't think so.
I'm making bad jokes, don't worry. Now, you think Luigi should recognize him because he's got the harmonica. Well, maybe some little glasses.
To him, all Goombas look alike. Again, this climax really should have been in Brooklyn, in New York, instead of in.
I could kind of see that
in the alternate dimension. The silly business with the dancing Goombas.
But hey, it gave us that domino effect.
This Bob-omb has the longest fuse ever.
Well, no. The fuse is exactly as long as the needs of drama.
I do like these transition effects where Koopa looks more reptilian.
It's a nice use of early morphing technology. Yep. Reebok on the Bob-omb feet. That's pretty nice.
I never noticed that.
Now, I like to think that Dennis Hopper is such a committed actor that Dennis Hopper is in all the dino suits when he transforms.
No.
You don't think he's that committed?
No, I don't. Not for this movie.
But his kid needs shoes. He never really devolves into a T-Rex. He just kind of turns into a mouth.
They were under a lot of constraints with budget and time to get these shots done, and I think it still looks pretty neat and kind of scary, although, you know, Jurassic Park did come out a few months later, and the dinosaurs in that... caliber.
Those effects do outclass these effects, but I mean that movie was truly innovative in its way. This movie was just ambitious.
Yeah.
Now I do notice that as he's devolving into the slime, we do get a brief flash of a reptilian version of Koopa that looks kind of like the actual video game character.
It does, right?
Although this brings up an interesting point. If they so the king was devolved into fungus, Koopa was devolved all the way back to like primordial slime or algae or some sort of bacteria. Yep. So does that mean he's going to continue to exist as a bacteria that will slowly take over the city?
Maybe for the sequel, maybe he's the evil fungus and gets, I don't know. I mean, a sequel was never made for this, but the way this ends, it was pretty clear that they were wanting to do a sequel.
Now, it does amaze me. Why didn't these people rebel sooner? They clearly didn't like that guy.
They were just waiting for someone else to have the courage to take down King Koopa.
You can't wait for someone else to fight your revolution for you. Okay, no, this doesn't make a damn bit of sense. How did he just suddenly turn back?
Lance Henriksen has a few lines of dialogue.
Or was he just waiting? Could he have done that at any time? He was just waiting till he sensed that Koopa was
although the coat he's wearing, the coloring looks a bit like what the kings look like in the end of the worlds in Mario 3. It's a bit weird that this meteorite piece still works after they drill it out of the meteor.
Well, no, it still has all of its original properties.
Why can't she go with them? Can't she? I don't know. It reminds me a bit of the end of Thor. Where why didn't Natalie Portman go with Thor back to Asgard?
Well, because she has business on... Well, because the thing is, you go, you're never coming back. And she has far too much to explore and experience in this world.
Yeah.
But one thing I do like, I don't feel that this whole love story bit between the princess and Luigi, it doesn't feel forced to me. It feels very organic and natural for these characters.
Right, and they never, they don't get married at the end. They don't. It's sort of, at this point, bittersweet, and although she does come back in the very end, as we'll see coming up.
Yep.
So he's taking the boots with him.
So do you think they'll be... Would you think... That was the whole thing. Do you think they'd be smart enough to try to reverse engineer those boots and then patent them?
I'd hope so.
You know what? It occurs to me, like, crystals and things you put in other things and different dimensions shows up in a lot of hastily written movies from this period. Take, for instance, Cool World.
Yeah. It's also reminded me a bit of the Masters of the Universe movie for some reason.
Exactly, yeah, yes.
So.
Which is another movie we ought to do a commentary for.
Could be, yeah. Jeez.
I like that their relationship's progressing. I like that he found a clean version of that shirt from the opening scene. I feel very embarrassed, but is that a reporter we're supposed to recognize?
I don't think so. I mean, that introduction of the phrase Super Mario Brothers is really forced and not... Teaser for the sequel!
No time to explain.
Nope. Got to end on a freeze frame of her smiling. Now, of course, we got to talk through all these credits.
Well, hold on. There was a quick. What was the Chiron say? That was 3 weeks later.
Yes.
So maybe time passes differently in the other dimension, but in 3 weeks, another outright disaster happened that required reopening that gateway.
I do want to point out this first song from the end credits. I believe it's Almost Real by Roxette or something. Was originally meant for the movie Hocus Pocus with Bette Midler. And you can see Hocus wow. Pocus is used a lot in the chorus. And for whatever reason, music rights or whatever, it was used as the end credits in the Mario Brothers movie instead. And members of the band were reportedly very upset by that.
Dan Castellaneta was the narrator.
At the beginning with the dinosaurs.
That's pretty damn cool.
I love when you do that Hocus Pocus to me. Might make sense for the movie Hocus Pocus, but for Super Mario Brothers, it has little to do with the film.
Having seen Hocus Pocus, I don't see how that this song matches with that.
It has
film.
The phrase Hocus Pocus.
Yeah. That's a
tenuous.
Hocus Pocus is a fun film, but it's also frustrating. It's a fun film, but it's also frustrating. In the sense that, in a lot of ways, you could see it as just a giant slur against Wiccans and pagans.
My wife got that for Christmas from her mom 4 years ago, and it's still sitting in the shrink wrap.
You know, I remember David Spade. I'm just going to quote a line from David Spade when he used to do Hollywood Minute.
Yeah.
You know, I took my nephew to see Hocus Pocus, this movie about some witches from Salem who try to get revenge on people. And he was pretty scared. I remember we had to leave the theater early. He was going, Uncle David, how did they get financing?
So after rewatching this Super Mario Brothers movie for the sequel commentary, what do you think of this film?
I still like it. I think it's real. I think it's real fun, and it's not idiotic fun. It's not fun that insults you as a viewer. It's just bizarre. You have to be willing to just ride the bizarre train that is this film.
It's certainly bizarre. You just have to sort of suspend your disbelief, try and not go into it thinking about the video game so much, and I think you'll have a better time. The more I've watched this movie, the more I've enjoyed it. The more I pick out the clever references, the clever lines of dialogue. I mean, there's a reason why people go back and rewatch the Super Mario Brothers movie. You don't hear people saying how much they love, I don't know, Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm happy that we did a commentary for this film. Our first non-sequel, non-franchise killing commentary.
I don't know, the sequel commentary episodes, the sequel cast special episodes led us to stretch the definition a bit, I think, every once in a while.
That's, well, you have to break the format
exactly
every now and then.
And
oh, Brian Jennings.
Do you recognize who that is?
Oh, he was the morph supervisor. He's gone on to do a lot of CGI things.
Like what?
Like any movie with decent CGI. Oh, okay. You'll see him in a lot of credits.
Special thanks, Netra Nanderman, Pixar? Huh.
Well, again, it's computer graphics.
Yeah. Oh, the creatures in this were designed and supervised by Patrick Tatopoulos, who
also did the creature design for Godzilla and the American Godzilla.
And Independence Day, and he later directed the film Underworld 3, Rise of the Lycans.
George Clinton was on this version of Walk the Dinosaur.
Yeah.
Nice. Tie Your Mother Down by Queen. Oh, yeah.
Somewhere by My Love, the music the Goombas danced to, performed by Frankie Yankovic.
Frankie?
Not
unrelated
to Weird
Al
Yankovic.
Yankovic.
Yeah.
I've got one of his... I somehow ended up with one of his albums. It's exactly what you think it is. Plus a song about a kishka.
Yeah. Based on the concept and characters created by Shigeru Miyamoto and Takashi Tezuka of Nintendo... We got a post-credit scene in this, as I recall.
Really?
Wait.
If so, I've never seen it. I'm looking forward to it.
Here we go.
Oh, wow. I have never seen that before. That was a nice bit of business.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all for watching and listening.
And listening to Sequel Commentary, Episode 2 on Super Mario Brothers. Be sure to check out all the other episodes of Sequel Commentary, Sequel Cast Specials, and the Sequel Cast at sequelcast.com or at facebook.com/sequelcast. Or please go to iTunes, look up Sequel Cast, and leave us a good review. For Sequel Commentary, this is Matt.
And this is Thrasher.
Saying,
you just gotta believe.
Trust the fungus. All right.
Scapelli!
It's a me, Mario! Yeah.
A girl never forgets the first time she's kissed by a lizard.
Oh, God. Okay.
It's a me. Oh, yeah. I guess that wraps it up nicely.
You can hear SequelCast while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear SequelCast, you have a chance to win some money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. Download it. It's free and takes just a few seconds. Then, during registration, hit the promo code box and enter SequelCast to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episode of the show will always be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter the promo code SequelCast when you register. Just go to Stitcher.com/SequelCast.